Our Father in heaven, the great almighty God, the one who is the creator and the ruler of the whole universe, we thank you for this day that we can come before your presence in this way to worship you, to express our love for you, our appreciation of you, and also to hear what you have to say to us. Father, we thank you for what you revealed in the scriptures, that we may understand what is important to you and also how we should live our lives. We pray that as we look to you together, that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds, to resolve to help us to be more resolved in our hearts, to live lives faithful to you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 64th message, and we are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of men, the 33rd message. The subtopic for today, trustworthy and faithful parent-child. Trustworthy and faithful parent-child. We have seen that being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord is of primary importance. And to be trustworthy and faithful, moral, spiritual beauty and stature is of primary importance. We are now considering the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful in the various aspects of life, relationships, roles and responsibilities. We have considered the meaning of being a trustworthy and faithful servant of the Lord, trustworthy and faithful friend, and the last message, trustworthy and faithful spouse. Today I wish to consider with you the meaning of trustworthy and faithful parent, child. Some introductory remarks. Just as the preceding messages on trustworthy and faithful friend, spouse, this will not be a comprehensive treatment of the subject on trustworthy and faithful parent, child, but only from some angles. Primarily from the angle of implications and our working of the first message on being trustworthy and faithful and being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you may think the first two messages on being trustworthy and faithful and trustworthy and faithful friend are relevant to you. In fact, they're relevant to all of us. But the previous message on trustworthy and faithful spouse and today's message on trustworthy and faithful parent-child, you may think it's not so relevant to you. You may think I'm not married and not likely to get married, and so the messages on trustworthy and faithful spouse is not so relevant to me. Or my parents have passed away and I'm not likely to have children, and so this message on trustworthy and faithful parent-child and parent-child relationship is not so relevant to me. Or children may think I'm a child, and the message on trustworthy and faithful spouse is not relevant to me, or at least not for many years to come. I want to emphasize that this is not true. All the messages on all these various issues are relevant to all of us, and we need to understand why and see this clearly. That all these are written in the scriptures for our instruction. When Paul wrote the epistles, he addressed them to all the epistles, for example, to the Colossians, to the Ephesians, and then when he addressed the parents, when he addressed the children, and so on, it's directed to them, yes, but also for all the other believers to understand these things, so that they too can appreciate, understand God's instructions, God's will on all these things, so that we can learn from them and apply them. First, for our own lives, when we need to fulfill those responsibilities, but the other is to also understand our brethren in their roles and responsibilities so that we can properly uphold them, support them, understand what they are seeking to do, and help them, encourage them in whatever way that we can in the right direction. So all these things are important to God. We want to understand God's mind on all these various roles and responsibilities and whatever is important to God. And all these are integral aspects of practical outworking or the fulfillment of God's purposes. I mentioned that after emphasizing what is in the heart of God in Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul went on to share with the Ephesian believers many major aspects of what is in God's heart in the fulfillment of God's purposes. In that context, he addresses various issues, including what we are considering today on parent-child relationship. So if we love God and we want to have a meaningful part in the working of God's purposes, then we will want to have a wholesome understanding of all these issues that are relevant to the working of God's purposes, how we can fulfill our own part, and also how we can support, pray, uphold the various members of the body of Christ in their various roles and responsibilities. It's important to recognize we are one body in Christ, and the well-being and the working of every member of the body of Christ ought to be of concern to all of us. Generally, although there are exceptions, there is an instinctive outflow of love and concern of parents toward their children. This is worldwide, throughout the ages, this has been so. I think all of us recognize this. And also, generally, for children to treasure and to regard the parent-child relationship as very important. Many parents are prepared to do a lot for their children. They do not need much encouragement to do that, both in time, in effort, as well as the channeling of their resources. But how should parents go about fulfilling their responsibilities? Does it mean the more time, the more effort, the more resources expended on their children, the better? Shower them with a lot of attention, everything money can buy? Give your children whatever they ask of you? Make sure they do well in their studies and have what people would generally regard as a good career and bright prospects? These are the things that many parents in this world concentrate on when they try to bring up their children and do what they can for their children. What ought to be the primary concerns of parents for their children? Who is the trustworthy and faithful parent in the eyes of the Lord? What are the legitimate expectations of children of their parents and parents of their children? Who is the trustworthy and faithful child? Is it the one who follows and obeys all the instructions from the parents? This is what may come to the minds of many people when they think of the trustworthy and faithful child. How should difficulties in parent-child relationship be resolved? When the parent-child have differing views on practical issues, whose should prevail? Should parents adopt the posture when speaking to their children? You must listen to me because I am your parent. You must obey and respect me in all things. This is what the scriptures teach. This is the right thing to do. It will do you good. This is what is pleasing to God. And then we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. We can turn to this passage. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You should do this, and it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So you should listen to me. This is right. You should respect me. You should honor me. And this will be good for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So children, you are to obey your parents in all things, everything, and this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And the parent may think he has an unassailable scriptural, or he may think he has unassailable scriptural support. That means unshakable. Unshakable scriptural, clear scriptural support for his posture and expectations of the child. That he has the right and he is in the right to adopt this posture. But the child may be resentful, exasperated, and angry. why are you telling me, or rather what you are telling me and expecting of me is unreasonable. I do not agree with you. How can I listen to you when you are in the wrong? What you are telling me and expecting of me, you do not even live it out in your own life. It is my life. I know what I am doing. You do not understand me. You are not keeping up with the times, old-fashioned, backward. Why are you always coming after me, pointing out my faults, scolding me? You are making me very unhappy and exasperated. I have no freedom. Why can't I do what so many of my friends are doing? You are ruining my life. Of course, it's not always like that, but there are situations when this do arise. And if the disheartened, exasperated, or angry child has been reading the scriptures, or happen to know the two verses that follow the two passages referred to, or happen to see them when the parent refers to the passages we've just referred to, he may point out to the parent, that is, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, which says, "Fathers," and is applicable also to mothers, "do not provoke your children to anger." So the child may say, "The scripture says you are not to provoke me to anger, and you are doing just that. You are in the wrong." You refer to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. What about Colossians chapter 3, verse 21? "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart." That is, you are not to exasperate me, so that I will not lose heart. But I'm so exasperated and disheartened, and yet you say you are in the right. Who is right? How should one seek to fulfill one's part as a trustworthy and faithful parent or child? For the child, is it to obey whatever our parents tell us? For the parent, is it to refrain from saying anything that may anger or exasperate your child? And if what we say do actually exasperate our child, does it mean we are in the wrong? So are there legitimate expectations we can have of our parent or of our child? What if we think they are not fulfilling their part? Does it absolve us from fulfilling our part? Does it mean the parent-child relationship is getting on well because they do not have problems or major problems with each other and they enjoy each other's company? And you see some parents, children, they're very happy with one another. They play games together, they're very happy. Does it mean that we are faithful, trustworthy parent-child, and that is how it ought to be? Now, applying the principle of being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord is primary. We have seen that this is how we ought to approach every aspect of life, all the various roles and responsibilities. We must view it from the angle that the primary thing is to be trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. How do we apply this in this context? Our starting point and concentration should be on fulfilling our role as God desires of us, whether we are a parent or we are a child. Not our own thinking and inclinations or our disinclinations. Not what others or even society expect of us. And also ultimately, not just what our parent or what our child expects of us, though we should take them into consideration and bear them in mind. So what does the Lord require and desire of us in the parent-child relationship? Some preliminary remarks. Just as the relationship between spouses should not be viewed merely in isolation, as a matter between the two of them, so likewise, the parent-child relationship is not merely something between the parent and child, and it should not be approached that way. So long as the parents happy with the child with the parent, that's all. It should be viewed as an aspect of our total life and part of the outworking of our lives as trustworthy and faithful servants of the Lord. The other is, whether we fulfill our role well as parent and child does not merely affect the parent-child relationship. It also has a bearing on how we are faring as trustworthy and faithful servants of the Lord. It will also affect other aspects of our lives. And it will also affect the life of the body if these areas are not working well or they are working well. And be conscious of this fact that we have to give an account to the Lord, whether you're a parent or a child, when we meet the Lord. And include this area of how have we fared as a parent, as a child. It is a heavy responsibility entrusted to parents by the Lord, the bringing up of the child. It does not mean if the parent is happy and the child is happy, all is well. The critical issue, the vital point is God pleased? So in order to understand whether God is pleased, we'll now concentrate on the trustworthy and faithful parent. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We looked at this verse just now, but now we will concentrate on another aspect of it, of this verse. Just now we looked at fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Yes, that's relevant. But now we want to look at the second part. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, here Paul addresses the head of the family, but mothers also. Likewise, this is relevant to the mothers. This is the primary responsibility of the parent, is to bring up the children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's not ambiguous. These are clear words. It's addressed to the parent. This is the will of the Lord. And as I emphasized in earlier messages, this is part of what is important in the heart of God in the working of His purposes. It's not just between the parent and the child. For all things to work out well, the family relationship is important to God. And the parent-child relationship is important. And this is consistent in the teaching of the scriptures, including the teaching of the Old Testament. Let's first look at the words of the Lord to Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. The words of the Lord. In relation to Abraham, that God said in verse 17 that He will not hide from Abraham what He's about to do. Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation. In him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And then He said, the words of the Lord in verse 19, "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Notice that the choosing of Abraham, the role of Abraham, he has an important role in the fulfillment of God's purposes. In the fulfillment of God's purposes, the working of God's purposes, how Abraham were to bring up his children has an important bearing. God says, "I've chosen Abraham," and that He wants Abraham to command his children and his household after him. So this is important to God, how Abraham bring up his children to keep the way of the Lord, similar to what Paul says, bring up the children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to keep the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord, a major aspect of it is very important, is the moral, by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what is spoken about him. So, the bringing up of children in the way of the Lord is something important to God. What he has entrusted to parents and what he requires of parents. You may say these are words to Abraham. Yes. But it's clear it's meant for all of us. And this is where we will now turn to a key passage in the scriptures on this subject. That the primary responsibility of parents to teach their children diligently the ways of the Lord. That this forms part of the core center of what God requires of his people. I will now turn to a passage. We'll look at it together with you. This passage shows to us the core center of what God requires of his people and the primary responsibility of parents to teach their children diligently the ways of the Lord forms part of this core center. And this is actually, I understand, a very important passage amongst the Jews even till today that they often refer to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. You'll notice that this passage does not just talk about bringing up children, but also major key issues that God requires of his people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. This is addressed to the whole of Israel. The emphasis. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And we know that this rings a bell. It reminds us of the words of the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament, the teaching of the Old Testament, the laws and the prophets can be summed up. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Similarly, this is what is required of the God, of God's people in the Old Testament times, the Israelites. Verse 6. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. What are these words? These are the instructions of the Lord. In the preceding chapters, and if you just look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it. Moses teaching the Israelites the laws of God. And not only that, verse 2 says, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. The blessings of the Lord will be upon those who keep his statutes, his commandments. Verse 3, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. God very concerned that his people follows his instructions, his laws, his statutes, and only for that, but to teach their children that it may be well with them. Verse 6, just now we're looking at these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. Not just hear it, forget about it. God wants these truths, these instructions of the Lord, to become very much a part of what is in the heart of his people. And then he says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, and you lie down, and when you rise up. Very important. Teach all these things to your children. Not only teach them, diligently do so. Teach them diligently. And the emphasis is continually, all the time. This should become so very much a part of your life, your family life. The ways of God, what is in the heart of God, at the very center of your family life, must be what is in the heart of God, the ways of God, God's instructions, God's laws. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all the time, daytime, nighttime, bedtime, all the time. This is what God requires of his people. Recognize there's only one true God. Love God with all your heart. All these truths, instructions of the Lord, must be very much in your heart. Diligently teach them to your children. All the time, you must be preoccupied. Your focus, your concentration, for yourself, for your loved ones. And then he went on to mention verse 8, bind them as a sign in your hand. They shall be as frontal on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. All this is just to emphasize, to elaborate on this point, to bring home this point, that at all times, all the time, they are to be preoccupied, pondering, considering, talking about, discussing, so that the truth becomes clear. It becomes a part of the lives of all in the family. This is the primary responsibility of parents, to teach their children diligently the ways of the Lord. And this forms part of the core center of what God requires of His people. It is important to God. We bring up the children well, then it can have long-lasting, beneficial effects on them. Often it can carry on lifelong. And good habits that are formed when young can often be very helpful for the children even when they grow old. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. As in many of these verses in the Proverbs, these are not absolute statements, but are just general statements. You train up a child in the way he should go, then often he will carry on even when he's old. But it's not absolute. Not absolute both from the angle of how you bring up the child. You may have done your part, but the child may still not grow up well. But the other is that even when the child has been responding positively when young, as he grows older, he needs to continue to affirm and to deepen his life, his walk with God, and to be faithful to God. It is possible he can still go astray. But if a child is well brought up, then the likelihood of the child responding well is much higher, and the likelihood that he will continue to go on with the Lord is there. The parent cannot ensure it will turn out well for his child, the final outcome. But he can ensure, and he must seek to ensure, that he fulfills his responsibility well, in a manner pleasing to the Lord. What you are able to, you need to fulfill it well. What is within what you can do. Yes, there are also many other areas of responsibilities which you cannot neglect everything else and just concentrate on your child, but all things considered, in the context that you're in, what God requires of you, what is pleasing to the Lord, you concentrate on it, you fulfill your part. That is what God requires, and that is how we are to give an account to the Lord when we see Him face to face, and it is a solemn responsibility. So the primary concerns of parents for their children ought to be not so much how many talents, how many skills they've acquired, how well they do in their studies, although these are relevant, but the primary concerns of parents for their children from a biblical perspective ought to be that they come, first of all, to a personal knowledge of God and a relationship with God. That is primary. If not, how are they going to be taught and helped in the ways of God? And then from there, helped, encouraged to learn to love God with all their hearts. An increasing depth of knowledge of God, commitment to God, increasing knowledge of the Scriptures in all its height, width, depth, and to live according to the teachings of the Scriptures, leading to a transformation of their lives according to the image of Christ. We know this is a central teaching of the Scriptures. And ultimately, we can sum it all up also to be faithful to God, that the children grow up to be trustworthy and faithful servants of God. So all else that we are concerned about for the children, all that we do for the children, how we spend time with them, all else must flow forth from these primary concerns and must be consistent with them. If they are not consistent, then we know. If they are contrary, we know we have failed. And we need to face it honestly. Yes, there can be failures, but face it honestly and not rationalize them away. So the primary issue for parents is not how clever or how capable your child is, how talented he is, what kind of skills he has acquired, how well he performs in his studies or his job and career prospects. It does not mean you do not pay attention to all these aspects of his life, but what is more important is his character, his attitude, his perspective in life. And we can say, at the heart of it, his moral, spiritual beauty and stature. This is most important, of utmost importance in the sight of God and the fulfillment of your responsibility as a parent. What you should concentrate upon, that you helped him to nurture a sense of a trustworthy and otherwise, how can you fulfill this area well? How can you nurture all these in your children if all these are very poor in your own life? So this links directly to this major aspect I'm trying to communicate. In order to live our lives well, moral, spiritual beauty and stature is of primary significance. The approach. How about the approach the parents should take? Some brief remarks. The primary concern of parents should not be on external compliance. Too often, parents are preoccupied with this. If the child doesn't seem to be complying externally, the external compliance, they are very disturbed. And so long as they can get the child to comply externally, then they are, to some degree, satisfied. But this ought not to be the primary concern, the external compliance part. But the primary concern should be to seek to nurture positive attitude and character that's grounded in their love for God and knowledge of God and the ways of God. Real character and positive attitude cannot be properly nurtured and developed outside of a sincere love for God and knowledge of God and the ways of God. These are very closely interrelated. And you want to nurture true convictions. So what is important? The nurturing of strong convictions based on God's revelation in the scriptures. While the child is too young to be able to read the scriptures for himself, you should still seek to teach and bring up the child and communicate to the child important truths in the scriptures. And more, as the child is able to help him to ground his life on the revelation of scriptures and for him to form personal convictions. And all this requires patient teaching, explanations, and encouragement rather than regimental enforcement of rules and regulations, nor merely a long list of do's and don'ts. There's a long list. Don't do this, you can do this, you cannot do that, or just keep on enforcing all the rules and regulations. Ultimately, it's not the way to arrive at the goal. The child needs to understand. And you need to explain so that he understands, he sees, and he becomes motivated. So he wants to. He understands why it's so meaningful. To love God, to trust God, and to follow God, and he wants to. This needs to be explained, encouraged, helped. Yes, there is a place for enforcement of discipline. This is scriptural, the place of the rod, the principle of the rod. A place for enforcement of discipline, and also important for children to know where the boundaries. There are certain things you should not infringe. Some has to do with endangering your own life, but some has to do with moral issues. You're not to steal, you're not to tell lies, untruthful, malicious attitudes. These are major issues. Some more important than others. Children need to know the framework within which they should work out their lives. Not anything goes. That is not true freedom. Just as for the adult, likewise for the children, freedom within the framework of truth, as God has revealed to us. So there's a place for enforcement of discipline, but wherever feasible, it is important to help the children to understand, even as you enforce discipline, so that they can cooperate willingly. And in particular, when they are punished for infringements, and there is a place for that. It should not be excessive, it should not be cruel kind of punishment, and when they are punished, it is important that the children understand why they are punished, and they can recognize that they deserve it as much as possible. Help them to understand that they deserve it. Not just that you say so, but you help them to understand why. An enforcement of discipline must always be tempered with much assurance of love and concern for their well-being, and another very important ingredient, reasonableness. As far as possible, first to ensure that objectively what you are doing is reasonable, the other is as much as possible for the child to see that you are reasonable. If they view you as unreasonable, it leads to a lot of problems. This approach will also go a long way to minimize resentment, exasperation, and frustration. Children who are properly disciplined, you'll find that often they do not resent, they do not become exasperated, but in fact they appreciate the parents more. That doesn't mean they enjoy the punishment. The very idea of punishment means it's something not enjoyment, not pleasant. It's also important for the parent to bear in mind that as a child grows older, then there needs to be a difference in the way you treat the child. There should be increasing freedom for the child to order his own life and make his own decisions to the degree that he can, he's able to, and also to encourage him to learn to shoulder the responsibility for his own life and the decisions that he make. Guide him, discuss with him, but more and more, he must learn to shoulder the responsibility for his own life. But it is good, it is important that parents seek to establish a rapport and a strong foundation in the parent-child relationship so that there will be continuing communication and mutual respect as a child grows older and older, and even as a child becomes an adult and is no longer a child. There's still that communication because of the foundation built when young and maintained, and there is mutual respect. I say mutual respect, it's not only when the child has become an adult. Yes, parents would appreciate if the children respect them, and it's proper, it's correct. But it's also important that parents also learn to respect their children. Children, however young they are also created in the image of God. They are also moral beings who can think, who can consider, who can understand things. And we need to respect them. And I now want to concentrate on the trustworthy and faithful child. So in particular for children, please pay attention. This part is more directly relevant to you. That's not to say the rest of this message and other messages are not relevant to you. Just now I referred to Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 to 7. Remember that these words are also very relevant to you. They are relevant to all Christians, the principle there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is addressed to all Israel, adults and children. These are the truths here also meant for all of God's people, all of God's children. Adults as well as children. Verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And then, to recognize, God wants parents to teach their children. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and so on. So these are the responsibilities of the parent. But you as a child, you also know that when your parent try to teach you these things, it is not just their thinking, their desire. When parents are trying to teach you the ways of God, this is also what God desires of them and what God desires of you. That God wants you to concentrate on God and the ways of God, the instructions of God. When you sit down, walk by the way, lie down, rise up. In other words, all the time. God wants you to be preoccupied with Himself and the ways of God. So, the primary issue for everyone, including children, is to be trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. We've seen this in the first message. This is very primary, that God wants us to be trustworthy and faithful. And this is not just for adults, it's also for children. So this is what you must concentrate upon in your life. If you want to live a life that is truly fulfilling, to live your life well, this is what you must concentrate on. And it means you must concentrate on learning and growing well in the Lord. Yes, there's a place for studies. God also wants you to be responsible at home, in school, and everywhere. But the concentration is on learning and growing well in the Lord, even beyond how well you do in your studies. So all scriptural exhortations to love God with all our hearts, to know Him, to walk in His ways, they're applicable to all, including children. As you read the scriptures, as your parents tell you about the ways of God, they are addressed to all, including children. And so children should seek to be trustworthy and faithful also in the parent-child relationship. How to be a trustworthy and faithful child? But as you seek to be a trustworthy and faithful child, you should also view this not just as between you and your parent. Whether you are a faithful and trustworthy child, view this also as part of your expression of wanting to be a trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. There are also passages in the scriptures that are addressed directly to you in this regard. That means addressed to children. God is concerned about children and how they are getting on in their lives. So, if we look back again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. I've mentioned from time to time, Ephesians is a very, very deep and rich epistle where God lays open His heart to us, what is very important to Him in their working of His purposes. In the midst of all this, He tells children what is important for them. So children, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. God wants you to understand it's important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For you to obey your parents, it is correct. This is right. This is very important for you as a child, to obey your parents. But notice, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. I'll explain a little bit more afterwards. Is obey your parents in the Lord. And you have to honor your father and mother. Give them due respect. Honor them. Verse 3. So that it may be well with you. You want to live your life well. You want to have true well-being. You must pay attention to this. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This is important in the eyes of God and it's important for your well-being. Then Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Similarly, in the same direction. And Colossians is also another epistle, you can say twin epistle of Ephesians. Very rich in revealing what is in the heart of God for the fulfillment of God's purposes. But again, Paul addresses the parent-child relationship. And again, he addresses you, children. Children, again, what is the main thing you need to pay attention to? Very important. Be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is not just between you and your parent. God wants you to be obedient to your parents in all things. In all things here means it's not just you select. Oh, in this area only. Other areas, I don't have to listen to you. No, in all areas, God wants children to be obedient to their parents. And let us be thankful to the Lord for parents who love us and care for us. Do you have parents who love you and care for you? You may feel they're coming after you, they're scolding you, they're nagging you. But do you recognize they love you and they care for you? If you do, you need to be thankful and tell God you are thankful. There are millions of orphans all over the world who deeply long their parents to love them, to care for them, or even to nag at them. But they don't have. Be thankful. Your parents who love you and care for you, respect them. Appreciate all they are trying to do for your well-being. If you recognize what they do in sincerity, whether you agree or you disagree, from what you can understand, do you think what they are trying to do is for your well-being? If you understand, yes, they love you, they are trying to care for you, what they are doing, even if you don't quite understand, you don't quite agree, but they are doing it for your well-being, appreciate that, that part. They love you, they care for you. So generally, you should pay attention, listen to them, and cooperate with them. I say generally, because I have qualifications. Generally, follow their instructions. Work out your lives within the boundaries and framework your parents have set for you. This is in line with the scriptural teaching. Even if you have other preferences, you have other inclinations, you have your own thoughts and ideas. For example, they may tell you about the need to set apart time to do your schoolwork, some degree of housework, time to play, but also time to sleep, and when it's bedtime. But you may have your own ideas. No, I don't want to sleep so early. I want to stay up later. I want to watch football or whatever it may be. If your parents give you some leeway, possible. But this is something that parents have to be very wise. But whatever the parents decide, children, you need to recognize that parents are given a responsibility by God and you should cooperate with them. And for some, as they grow a bit older, they want to go out and they want to go out with friends. To what degree your parents see is suitable and you want to stay up late at night. Or at least to their parents, it's very late. You need to come back by 10 p.m. But you think I'm old enough. No need. 10, 11 is fine. Even past midnight sometimes also is okay. But your parents say, no, come back by 10. Listen to them. Or you want to stay overnight with your friends. Or you want to stay at a bungalow, whatever it may be. Your parents give you instructions. You should generally abide by the instructions, the framework for your lives. But there's one important, there are a few important things that are there. In other words, I say, it doesn't mean that whatever they say, you just say yes, yes. If you don't think what they are telling you is reasonable, or you don't quite agree with what they are saying, or you think you have a better idea, it's alright. You don't have to keep quiet and then feel miserable. You can raise it for discussion. Discuss with them why you think this is better and not the other and so on. Or in this instance, give me an exception. Just this once. And I will prove to you I will behave in a responsible way. So your parents will consider and it may be that they may agree for that one occasion. So there is a place for discussion. But in general, you should try to follow their instructions, especially when you are very young. As I said, as you grow older, more and more the parent properly should recognize a place for you more and more to consider for yourself and to make decisions within a certain framework. And what kind of areas you are able to decide for yourself. And now I want to go into one important qualification. That obedience to parents is not absolute. The other is the direction of the obedience and why you're obeying your parents. Only obedience to God is absolute. obedience to parents is not. So as a child grows older, if he understands that if what the parent requires of the child, and sometimes this can take place, if what the parent requires of the child is something not honoring to God, then that is a different issue, especially as a child grows older, he understands. But our general obedience to parents is not merely to make our parents happy. It is part of our expression of our obedience to God, because God wants us to obey our parents. So generally, you should follow and obey our parents as part of the expression of our obedience to God. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord as part of expression of obedience to God. But where it is contrary to obedience to God, that is different. Also, if there are aspects of conduct and ways of a parent that are displeasing to God, and the child can recognize it, the child should not follow. Because parents are fallible. Even good parents are also in the process of learning and growing. Do not be shocked or say, how can it be if you observe there are failures in your parents? And in reality, it does take place from time to time. For example, you may observe impatience, improper expressions of anger, or at times, unreasonableness on your parents. Because we should not conclude too quickly, they are unreasonable. Maybe you don't understand, they are reasonable. But at times, it is true, parents can also be unreasonable. But even if these are true and you observe them, it does not justify your own failures in this manner. Oh, because you are impatient, I can also be impatient. You throw your temper around, I can also do likewise. And sometimes children retort in that way. You can be unreasonable, so can I. So when you observe your failures on the part of your parents, you don't follow. What should you do? Pray for your parents, and they'll appreciate it. Yes, there's a place for you to pray for your parents, that they also will grow well in the Lord. But be careful, as I said, not to quickly conclude your parents are in the wrong, they have failed, but they can. And you should also be concerned for the well-being of your parents and pray for them. It is correct. So for children, realize that to God, it is important that you learn to be honest, to be truthful, and learn to be reliable. That you can become trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. This is very important to God. This will be a primary goal in your life. But to attain this goal, you must concentrate on nurturing your relationship with God, good attitude and character. That is, growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. I preached a number of messages on this and earlier messages. You may not be able to follow and catch every aspect, but whatever you can catch, whatever you're able to understand, and I believe many of the children are able to appreciate various aspects and the general meaning of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, your growth in the knowledge of God, the ways of God, the transformation of your character, to have good attitudes, good character. I think many of you understand these things. The other is to realize that whatever your context, whatever your situation, however difficult it may be, that no one can stop you from growing well and faring well in this manner. If your heart is set on this goal, you're set on growing well in God. Recognize this. God will help you. And God will provide for you. God will care for you. He'll provide opportunities for you to learn and to grow. But you must set your heart on cooperating with what God wants to bring about in your life, to transform you, that you may be conformed to God's character, the image of Christ. And if you are growing well in this manner, God will be pleased with your life. and you'll be faring well in what really matters. I want to emphasize again. If you're faring well in this area, you're growing well in this area, in your character, in your knowledge of God, relationship with God, God will be pleased. You will be faring well in what really matters. It does not matter if you're not so intelligent, you're not so talented, you're not so capable as others around you. This is how society may treat people. Those who are not so intelligent, those not so capable, are treated as not inferior and no good. But it does not matter if you're not so intelligent, you're not so talented, you're not so capable as other people around you or other children. It does not matter if you're not so good in your studies and you do not fare so well in exams. Parents, don't be alarmed. I'll qualify soon. But I mean it. Children, it does not matter. If you're not so good in your studies, you do not fare so well in exams. Some children are so pressurized, so disturbed by this. You know, some of them, even young children, they end their lives when they fare badly in exams. They feel so terrible. Do you need to? No. It does not matter. If, and that is an important if you have been responsible, if you have done your part, then it does not matter. Your exam results, how they are, it does not matter. If you are concentrating on pleasing God, you are faring well in your relationship with God, your character, your attitudes are positive, you have sought to do your part. You have not been lazy, irresponsible. It does not matter. Finally, what the results come out. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. If others tell you, you have no future, you will have a very bright future in the Lord. On earth, as well as eternity, not only in heaven, but even on earth, you will have a bright future. But it may not be a bright future in the eyes of the world. You may not have what people call a very glowing career with very good prospects in the eyes of the world. But in what really matters to the Lord and ultimate meaning and reality of life in life, you will be faring well. You will have a bright future. If you are living in this way, your parents will be glad for you. Or I would say they should be. If they are not, they are wrong. And they need to change their attitude and mindset. Some parents, even when their children's attitudes are positive, but they don't fare in their studies, the parents get very angry, very upset. But if that's how the parent responds, it's the parent who is in the wrong. Right? Your parents will be glad for you, should be glad for you, whatever it may be in your studies, you've been responsible, and you are growing in God, your attitudes are good, your character is positive. I will be glad for you. And I am available and I will strongly support you and help you to the degree I can in that direction as the Lord enables me. That is, to support you in the direction of your development, your character, in any way I can help you. I will support you. And the uncles and the aunties in the congregation, all members of the body of Christ, will also uphold you and support you and help you in that direction. As the Lord guides us and enables us, and you can also approach us in what way we can help you. Yes, first of all, in your own family, your parents, but you can also approach others, uncles and aunties, and myself, if in any way we can help you. And we will pray for you. And we have been praying for you. We are concerned for you, for your well-being. You are part of our working out together in church life. But you must also do your part, no matter how much we care for you, how much your parents care for you. If you do not do your part, it will not turn out well for your life. So you must do your part. You must also seek to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to know the ways of God, and to be obedient to God and what God teaches us in the Scriptures. To the degree that you can. You may say there are many things you cannot understand. That is all right. God will not hold you responsible for that. But what God is concerned about is what you understand, what you can, will you do it? Will you seek God to know God and God's ways to a degree that you can? And as, even as you come for a time of worship like this, will you come with the right spirit, right attitude, be prayerful? And you can come and also pray for our whole time together. That is also your contribution. You can contribute to this time. And whatever you can learn and receive, yes, there are things that you cannot understand. God will not hold that against you. But what is feasible for you? What you can understand, but you fail to understand because you let your mind drift elsewhere. And you're not receiving what is feasible for you. Yes, God will hold you accountable for that. But ultimately, bear in mind, don't have the picture of God just as someone big with a big stick, just waiting for you to make mistakes to hit you. No. God is our loving Heavenly Father. He cares for you. He wants to draw you to Himself to help you. But yes, God will also discipline us when we are naughty and our attitudes are bad. That's because He loves us. So let us all learn and grow together. Children, your lives can also be an encouragement to us. It can be a great encouragement to us. From time to time, I do talk to the children, and you may not realize it. Many of you, in the way you respond to me, when I can see some positive things of how you've been learning from the Lord, it brings much encouragement to my heart. And likewise to your parents, and to your uncles and aunties who care for you. So your lives count. Your attitude counts. God is watching, and He is pleased when your attitudes are positive. So you also have a part. Concentrate on learning, growing well in the Lord, and also recognize that it is also possible for you to contribute to a life of the body of Christ, that is the church life, primarily by maintaining a positive attitude, a prayerful spirit at all times, and especially during times together like this. Your well-being, your growth in the Lord is important, and it will have a bearing on the health of the body of Christ. There are other aspects at other times that we'll address. I will not go into them now, but I just want to emphasize to you children that you are an integral part of our working out together. You are important to us, you are important to the Lord, so seek to do your part, to respond well, the degree that is feasible for you. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper, reflect on how have we been responding to God in our personal lives and also together as God's people, together in church life. God wants us to respond well to Him at a personal level and also to be conscious of one another, to know that our lives affect one another. God loves us, He cares for us, we also need to care for one another. How our lives can be encouragement to others, and how we can all learn to grow together. And in this regard, to remember that family life, parent-child relationships, relationship between the spouses, fellowship amongst the brethren, all these are important. Let us seek to understand these things and how we can uphold one another, and also seek to fulfill our part and the various roles and responsibilities that we have in a wholesome manner, in a manner pleasing to God. Our parents can also reflect. Parents, to reflect on how you fulfill your part in the family. The father, the husband, how you fulfill your part, your wife, your children, likewise, the wife, the husband, and the children. And children also reflect, well, how have you conducted yourselves in the family and towards your parents, but also parents and children reflect on how you responded to God and fulfill your part together with other believers in church life. If you can recognize that there are ways, aspects in your attitude, your concentration, or failure in fulfillment of your responsibilities, what God requires of you in these various aspects, confess it to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Don't give excuses. Face it honestly. It's between you and God. As you come before God's, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, and where there are failures, even as you confess, ask God to forgive you, also ask Him to grant you wisdom and to strengthen you to fulfill your part. Yes, there are aspects that can be very difficult. There are contexts that are very difficult. But God knows your situation. He knows your context. And He wants to help you. So come to Him. Ask Him to strengthen you and to help you. And let us uphold one another in fulfilling the various roles and responsibilities that God desires of us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the depth of Your love toward us. You love each one of us, adults as well as children. And thank You that You have not left us to grope in darkness. The Lord Jesus has come as light into this dark world to show us the way of truth, the way of life, the way back to You, the way we should live our lives. And thank You for what You have revealed in the Scriptures. We may understand how we ought to concentrate on knowing You and loving You with all our hearts and learning not to be self-centered, but also to learn to love others even as You have loved us. We know that You want us to learn to grow well in You and to be trustworthy and faithful servants of the Lord, and be trustworthy and faithful in the various roles and responsibilities You've entrusted to each one of us. To be a trustworthy and faithful friend, a trustworthy and faithful spouse, parent, child, in our schools, in our workplace, and also what You desire of us in the fulfillment of our part in the body of Christ. Father, we know that we are weak and frail. All of us do have weaknesses. We do fail from time to time. But You are concerned with our attitude. And we ask that You help us to be humble, to deeply, earnestly desire to know You and to be true to You. That in the midst of failures, we may continue to learn to grow, and how we can uphold one another in the fulfillment of the responsibilities and tasks that You've entrusted to us. Thank You for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that You will wash away our sins. Help us to recognize where we have failed, put them right, and be resolved in our hearts to be true to You, to be faithful to You in the various aspects of our lives. Not to be half-hearted, but by Your grace to work out our lives well. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.